Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Good. Brother David called me tonight, and they're at the hospital with Erica Rankins. They took her into surgery this evening to put her lungs have collapsed, and they put a trach in right now, was the last time I heard, and she's still in surgery. So if we could tonight, let's stand and have special prayer for her and for the family. I know it's a struggling time for them right now, and I'm sure they could use the prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now, God. Lord, we bring Erica before you, God. Lord, we pray, God, that you would come down right now, God, in the midst of that hospital room, God. God, that you would come down and touch her in a mighty way, God. Give the doctor skill, God. God, let them know exactly what to do, God. Lead and guide them, Lord. Lord, Brother Tim, God, I pray that you would come by, Lord. Lord, put your arms around about it, God. Lord, let your spirit be filled in that place, God. Sure to give you the glory, God. Lord, for the Rankins, for the Terrors, God, give them strength, God. God, give them comfort, God. God, let them know that you're there, God, and that you're with them, Lord. Lord, and we'll be sure to give you the glory and you the honor. For it's in your name we pray.
I wonder if anybody else has a prayer request this evening for the Ray. Don? Okay. All right, that's it. Let's all come find a place to pray this evening.
That song there says, come on in. You know, I'm thankful tonight that, you know, there's not a whole lot of people here. But if that can be our prayer tonight, is Lord, come on in. Lord, come on into this place. Come into this tabernacle. Not just your house here, not just the house of God, but God, come in here. Come in here and let your presence dwell among us. As Carrie to sing that again, as Amanda comes to lead us in song, if we could, let's just make that our prayer and sing with it. Lord, come on in tonight.
The blood of Jesus.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. My sister, when she was in town, she was telling me of a thing they were doing in their children's church, this little kit they had where you had a heart. And in that heart, you dipped it in this one chemical and it came out black. And then they had a red bucket there that you put it in and it came out white. And you know, the kids, they said, were all mystified on how that could happen, how something that was red then become black, then dumped in something red and come out white. But you know, that's exactly what God did with us. He took us and He took that black heart. And I'm glad that He washed it in His red blood. And then we came out white. You know, that verse there says, "Are your garments spotless?" You know, David said, "He searched me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts." Now that's making for sure His garments were white. He wanted to make for sure everything, there was no spot or wrinkle to be found in Him. You know, I want that same prayer to be said of me tonight. Susan, thank you for coming to sing for us tonight. All righty. Well, then let's see if anybody has a testimony tonight for us. anybody else. Right. Adrian, can you come sing for us tonight, please? Anybody else while she's coming? Greater than your needs. I know I've been in a situation where I thought I couldn't go another mile or go another step even. But you know what? I can stand here today and say God was bigger than that need. The different things, I mean, I'm only 23 years old. I haven't faced that much as some people would say. But you know what? I found Him sufficient for me in every way. You want to sing tonight? And then we'll get into the Word. I heed it.
Bibles tonight, turn to Psalms chapter 46. Encourage you to be with us in the morning, 9:45 Sunday school. Same time every Sunday morning. May start 5 minutes late, but it's still there around the same time. If you show up at 9:45, you won't be disappointed. Psalms 46, I'm going to read the whole Psalms here. It's kind of hard sometimes just to read a portion of a Psalms without getting the whole meaning of it. But here in Psalms 46, it says, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Elamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. But still, or be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Good, let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your spirit we feel here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon the remainder of this service. Anoint us to hear what you would have, Lord. Help me say that which you've given, Lord. Anoint me, I pray, in your name. Amen. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to look at this psalm, and I actually had something else I was going to preach on tonight, but when studying, I came across this verse and just felt the Lord lay it on my heart. But here, in this first verse here, we see that he says to the musicians, the sons of Korah, who were the song leaders at the time, and then he goes on to say a song upon Elamoth. This psalm was meant to be sung, it said, of a choir, and it was supposed to be sung at the highest point and ring out. It wasn't supposed to be something that was just whispered, so to speak, or just talked about lightly, but it was something that was supposed to be proclaimed. And then if you read on through that, you can understand why, and it talks about the different things. I just want to look at this passage for a little while tonight, and also there in verse 1, we see here the statement that says, "He is an ever-present help." You know, I'm glad that we have a help tonight, but I'm also glad He's an ever-present help. He's always there. He's ever present. In a moment's time, He'll be there for us. You know, it may be the darkest situation, but He'll always be there. Then it also says there that God is our refuge and strength. You know, I'm thankful tonight that we have a refuge and strength. In that area of time, it was a common thing for people to try to build up their own defenses. They would build walls around their cities. They would build moats. They would build things that would distract an enemy or hinder an enemy from coming in. You know, I started thinking about that. That's the same way today. We rely on things that we build for our safety. We have an army. We have a navy. We have the greatest airplanes, the greatest ammunition. Everything America has, you may say, it's the greatest in the world. But the psalmist here was saying that our refuge is in the strength and the present help of God. You know, so many times we put so much emphasis on the things that we create. Our house, how we build it up, and how we put so much effort into it, and how much we like it. But he's saying here, you know, that's nothing compared to the present help of God. This past week, I guess it was Tuesday night, or Wednesday morning, I got in my truck, and I went to turn the radio on like I do every morning, and I pushed my finger right through the dash because somebody had broken into my truck and stolen my stereo out of it. You know, it may seem like something minor, you know. The doors weren't locked. I didn't put a very heavy defense on it. But you know, even if the doors were locked, they could have broke right through the defense and taken it. But there's something that I have in Jesus Christ that nobody can come in the middle of the night and take. There's something that we have in Jesus Christ that nobody can come in and take away from us because we have a help. And we have somebody that we can depend on in times of trouble. He's a very present help in times of trouble. I was reading a book this afternoon, and the title of one of the chapters was The Dark Mile. And the preacher that was writing about it, he's talked about him and another gentleman had went into Scotland, and this book was written in the 30s, and they would go on these little trips, and they would go visit the lakes of Scotland. And they stopped, they heard about this Lake Lough Key, which was supposed to be the most beautiful lake anywhere in Scotland. They said, it's gorgeous, you have to go see it. And so they were staying at an inn close by, and they asked the innkeeper, they said, well, how do you get there? He said, well, there's this path right here. He's like, well, that's long. Is there no shorter way? He said, well, there is, but nobody goes that way on purpose. He said, you have to go through the dark mile. It's an area of rough caves, of hidden woods, of different things, traps, things you may fall into, wild animals. It's called the dark mile, and you can't see. You get so far in the forest that you can't even see daylight. He said, nobody will go that way. And the two men looked at each other kind of with the boyish that they used to have and thinking they were young again, said, well, we're going to go through the dark mile. Show us the way. And so as they went through it, they encountered everything that the innkeeper told them they would encounter. They saw the fierce animals at a distance growling. They saw the darkness. They said it was so dark one time they could almost see the stars, they thought. But whenever they came out of the ravine, they saw the beautifulness of that Lake Lough Key. And the one man looked at the other and said, you know what? You may not travel this alone, or not. You may not travel this in a want to, or because you don't have to, he said, but if you had not walked through the dark mile, you never would have noticed how beautiful the lake was. From this vantage point, after coming through what we just came through, after that darkness, we see how beautiful it is. I start to think how true that is in our life. Sometimes we go through things. We go through things whenever we need a present help. We need somebody there by us in times of trouble. We go through dark ravines in the forest where maybe you can't even see your hand in front of your face, so to speak. But yet whenever you come out and you see the beautifulness of God and how great and how magnitude He is, you know that it was all worth it. We had a cousin that a few years ago was pregnant with twins. And in the pregnancy, she ended up losing the two babies. And right after that, she had felt like, you know, God, I'm all alone. And she said, and one day she actually broke down her kitchen, actually yelled and said, God, where are you at? A little bit of time went by, and she went about doing her daily routine. She was washing the dishes, she said, and she had the radio on. And a preacher on the radio said, just the word just caught her ear. She wasn't listening to the whole thing, but he said, God said He's always been here. And she said at that point she felt God come in that room and say, I've always been here. I've never left you. I've never left you alone. And now she has another child now. And she says she doesn't realize how beautiful that child was. But God brought her through the situation. And you know, we may face things that we think that we can't get out of that are so dark and so dreary and so troublesome. But we have here, it says, a very present help in times of trouble. And Joshua 1:5, it said, the Bible there, Jesus talking to Joshua says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know, what a promise. I'm sure Joshua was in a time when he thought, God, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to lead these people? I'm sure he had Moses probably up here on a pedestal in his eyes. You know, Moses was this great man of God. Moses did so many things. God, I'm down here. How can I? But God made a promise to him here that I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And as I said before, God has never failed me. I've never felt Him forsake me. I've always known there's been times I didn't feel like God was anywhere to be found. But I knew that eventually He would be. I knew eventually I may be going through a dark time, but I knew eventually God would bring us through. You know, the next few verses there, the writer, he talks about different things in nature. He gives an illustration of how that though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake at the swelling thereof, he starts talking about the different fairy foundations of this earth. Even if they're troubled, God will still be there. Even if our situation seems impossible, God still moves. There's a friend of ours in Texas that she got married in October before Carrie and I did. A few months later, they were pregnant, had a baby. And then the very next August, her husband was killed one morning in a car accident. Hit, blindsided, never even saw it coming. And you know, you may think, well, her whole foundation, it's gone. Everything she has is wiped away. There's no hope. How will she ever do this? And I'll never forget her husband's funeral. We were sitting there. And it was one of the very few funerals I've ever been in like that. Actually, I've never been in one like it before. But they started worshiping God right in the middle of it. And she got up and started singing a song. That part of it went, "I've been running for Jesus a mighty long time, and I'm not tired yet." Because her foundation wasn't just as something in this world. Her foundation was in that ever-present help. And even in her time of trouble, whenever it felt like everything around her was shaken up, her husband was gone, she had a baby that was just a few months old, everything that you would think, "God, how can you make it?" She could make it because she knew who her help was, even in the time of trouble. Jesus wrote in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, we face things every day. We face things that this world throws at us. We face situations which we think, you know, it's not going to get any better. How can God move? You know, what can we do? We put God in kind of a little box. And God, what can you do now? The circumstances are so bad. But God always comes through. Next, we see here in this passage how he begins to talk about other things in nature. In verse 4 and 5 here, he says that there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So I was stating it out. Different commentators believe that he was talking here about the temple in Jerusalem. And he was talking about, though the areas around them may be in battle, that God was going to protect Jerusalem. God was going to protect his holy city and his temple where people came to worship. You know, I started looking at this, though, but, you know, we don't actually go to the temple now. The temple of God is in us. And I think we can take this and make the same application in our life tonight. That though the things may come against us, there's going to be a stream where we shall be glad. The holy place of God, and God is in the midst. You know, I'm thankful tonight that God is in the midst of us. I'm thankful that he's here with us tonight. And then in closing here, he wrote in verse 8 and in 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." The God of Jacob is with us. What a promise. What something to say that the God of Jacob is with us. Nothing of this world. I mean, I could have the President of the United States sitting here and it wouldn't mean as much to me as knowing the fact that Jesus is with me. I may be in the presence of the Secret Service, the United States military, everything you can imagine. But knowing this, that one bomb can take them all out. But my refuge, there's nothing on earth that can ever take it away. No situation can ever come against us that will take away the refuge. No problem, no person, because he is God and that is why he's with us. Closing night, care if you would come. Jonathan Edwards writing on this passage there in verse 10 where it says, "Know that I am God." He started to talk about knowing that he is God. I just want to read this for you before we come and pray this evening. It says, "In that he is God, he is absolute and infinitely perfect being. As he is God, he is so great that he is infinitely above all comprehension. And as he is God, all things are his own. In that he is God, he is worthy to be sovereign over all things. And that he is God, he will be able to avenge himself on those who oppose his sovereignty." That's the God we serve. We serve a God who is God. And that being God, he can take care of every need that we have. And the fact that he is God, he is the creator of all things. Tonight, if we could, let's all come and find a place to pray. And I encourage you that if you're going through something that you feel like you're all alone or that you need a refuge tonight, that he's a refuge. He's the cleft in the rock. Let's all come find a place to pray this evening.